Hey friends, I'm Scott Hanselman. It is another episode of Azure Friday. I'm here with Gabe Monroy, and he's going to set me straight with Managed Kubernetes, the new Azure Container Service, AKS.
That's right. Yeah. So containers are exploding on the scene at this point, mm-hmm. and people are very excited about it. And we've been in the market with Azure Container Service for actually some time now. Mm-hmm. And what we've heard from people is they really want a more managed experience, simpler to operate, simpler to sort of deal with in production. We've taken a lot of that feedback and specifically feedback around wanting to do this with Kubernetes in particular. So with that, we're extremely excited to announce today the Azure Container Service, managed service for Kubernetes.
Very nice. Okay, so how is this going to make my life easier? Because as a developer, I'd rather not even know that containers exist, but I would like to know that when my code gets checked in, it is reliably deployed.
That's right. So with the AKS service, there's really three things we're looking to do here. One is we're looking to make it easy to use. So this is really the fastest path to get up and running on Kubernetes with Azure. So it's just three commands, mm-hmm. get a cluster stood up very, very simply. So, but we're going a step further than that. We're actually making the cluster itself easy to manage. It's focusing on those day two operational concerns. So things like automated upgrades, automated patching, easy scale up, scale down. The control plane itself is self-healing. So if there's problems in the infrastructure, it'll automatically recover. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And most importantly, it really uses these open source upstream Kubernetes APIs that are taking the world by mm-hmm. storm.
Now, is this, and forgive me if I'm asking this wrong, but is this normal Kubernetes, or is this some Microsoft secret fork of Kubernetes?
No, it's customers tell us all the time that what they really want is the open sort of Kubernetes that doesn't sacrifice on portability, and it's going to work on their laptop the same way it's going to work in the cloud and on-prem. So this is 100% upstream Kubernetes, and with myself and Brendan Burns, who are deeply involved in the Kubernetes community, mm-hmm. Running this engineering here, this is something we care very deeply about.
Mm-hmm. Now, do I have to know about Kubernetes? Like, how deeply do I have to know about it?
This service is really for people who want Kubernetes API as a service. So really, it's really a plumbing component here. And what I would say is, you do kind of need to know the Kubernetes APIs.
Okay.
That said, we at Microsoft are working on a host of tooling that's going to make this really appealing for folks who don't want to know and don't want to care about container orchestration.
Right. I think there's a couple different levels there. There's I don't want to know and I don't want to care. I know, but I don't really want to maintain it and deal with it.
Yes.
Right.
And that's really the one that we're going after. And one of the things that I really like about the service is that it's actually free, in contrast with some other offerings from other cloud providers on the market. So what that means is that the control plane for the service, the hosted infrastructure to deliver Kubernetes as a service, we don't actually charge you for. You only have to pay for the VMs and the Kubernetes agents that you're running, which is actually pretty exciting.
Okay. So it's just the compute that I'm paying for, but there's no surcharge or the Kubernetes tax.
Correct.
Doesn't exist. Kubernetes is free.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. How much does it involve? Like, how many things do I have to run? If I'm going to run my blog and I'm going to now scale it out and use Kubernetes to make that happen.
Well, by default, we ship with sort of a default agent pool of three nodes. And so you'll get some infrastructure for three nodes. And we can sort of go into that a little bit. So you get a nice out-of-the-box experience. But you can scale it up or down. I mean, if you want to run one small node for development, we support a single node instance for sort of dev test. Mm-hmm. But you can scale all the way out to hundreds of nodes.
All right. Do you got a demo for me?
What I wanted to just run through quickly was just the high level of what it looks like to use this product. Because we put a lot of effort into making this simple to use. So we have the three commands here. So the first one is azaks create, which mm-hmm. is how you get a new instance of one of these Kubernetes environments, right?
Okay.
The second command is install CLI, and what that'll do is it'll download the kubectl command line to whatever your workstation is that you're working off.
That's convenient.
Which is convenient. And then you just grab credentials with azaks get credentials. That'll suck in the credentials, and then after that, you just use the kubectl client, and you're connected up to your new cluster.
So, and from soup to nuts, what are we looking at here? 10 minutes?
Or less, probably less. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, very, very fast to get going with, which is exciting. But what we've added to the experience, because you could get that more or less with the container service today, what we've added though is the ability to automatically upgrade and scale these clusters. So, if you can look here, looking at the cluster, we've got a 1.7.7 Kubernetes release. And by running azaks upgrade, I can actually punch in a new Kubernetes version, and the cluster will get upgraded automatically to that new version. And you can see sort of the
and that's that part that you were saying where it's like, I know I want to do this, but I don't care about the details.
I don't care about the details. I just want a new version. And, mm-hmm. and importantly, I want it to be done safely. So
what is my uptime out of curiosity sure. during that process, during that upgrade?
I'll talk about that in a minute because that's something that is extremely important because people are running production workloads. So mm-hmm. we care a lot about that. I'll talk about Great. The mechanics of that in a minute here. So let me just go ahead and jump into a demo of this. So what I'd like to do is, let's see. Pop over here. And one of the things that we care a lot about in the product group is making sure that we have really terrific documentation across all our products. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you kind of how to use this thing mm-hmm. Using our docs. So I've already went ahead and pre-created a Kubernetes environment. So what I'm going to do is, and I already have the CLI installed.
Okay. Well,
so what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab the credentials here by pasting this command in.
And the docs are really fantastic. I've been gushing about docs lately. Like, you don't think about docs as being something you would, in fact, gush about. But you kind of yada-yada over the part where right next to the button where you hit copy, there's a try it, where you can actually try out this stuff in the cloud show, which is amazing.
Which is amazing. And we've, across all the product groups in Azure, have a really deep focus on docs going forward, which is, I think, extremely important for customers. So you can see here, after grabbing credentials, I can get nodes, and I've got the MyKates cluster that this is exactly what you'll see if you run through this.
This hides so much complexity. It's just that get credentials there.
Get credentials after the thing spun up, and boom, you're off to the races.
Yep.
You got a 100% conformant Kubernetes cluster, you're good to go.
So awesome.
Very, very exciting. Now, to just show you how you would run an app, I can copy this snippet of text here, and I can pop this into a voting application. And I'm just go ahead and kubectl create-f voting. And what we did here is we deployed a backend that's running on Redis
okay.
and a front end that's, I believe, a Node app, as well as a service that's connected to an Azure load balancer. Now, if I pop down here and grab this command to watch the load balancer, we can see that we're still pending. What that means is that Kubernetes is in the process of automatically provisioning an Azure load balancer to wire up to the service.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a minute or so here, we'll see that IP address come back, and we can access it and to check out what this voting app
okay.
is that we deployed.
So because you said --, watch, it's going to keep checking. And once that external IP address is being has been provisioned,
yep.
we'll be able to access that directly.
We'll be able to access that directly.
Okay. This, and just out of curiosity, for people who aren't familiar, where did it get that code from, that voting.yaml referred to?
Yeah, so that code actually comes from here inside of our docs. We work hard to make sure that we have really good examples in the documentation. And so we actually went and built this app, this Azure voting app, specifically for the documentation. So
nice.
We could have folks try something real, right?
Okay. And the image is coming from here.
Yep, so if you can see
and
here.
And is that coming out of what?
You can see here we have Microsoft Azure Vote Front. And
what container registry does that come from?
This particular one is coming from Docker Hub, but mm-hmm. it could easily come from any registry. ACR is a really good.
Okay. So we're waiting to see if that external IP address will come back?
Yep. So we give this a minute here. Now, while that's going on, there's one other thing I wanted to mention is flipping back to the slides for a moment. Sort of the architecture of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big benefits of the Kubernetes service is that if you take a look at Kubernetes without AKS today, it looks a little bit like this. You've got a pool of master VMs, mm-hmm. and you're sort of exposed to all the everything involved with managing and updating those, as well as the agent VMs, which is where the actual work gets done and you derive your business value. With AKS, all of that management infrastructure disappears into this thing that we call the hosted control plane. And that's actually still infrastructure that's running, but you're not getting charged for that anymore.
Right.
And so what I can show you is I can actually show you here what this looks like.
I like to say that you're not emotionally attached to all of those virtual machines. You don't have to SSH and update them and care for them, water them, feed them.
Feed them, right, upgrade them, right, all that stuff, right? So what I have here is two different clusters. So at the top, this is a new AKS cluster that's a three-node agent pool, and you can see the three nodes running there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom, I have a ACS Kubernetes cluster, which is running with the masters available here. And so if you go into the portal, this is actually a lot more pronounced. So if you jump here into the portal, you can see This is the ACS Kubernetes cluster. It's got 24 items in this list here, including down at the bottom, you can see six different virtual machines. A lot of stuff here mm-hmm. involved in this. And it's pretty cool that we were able to set up and manage this, but still a lot of stuff. If we jump over into the other cluster I was looking at, now we're down to 13 items, right? So this is just a lot less overhead for the same thing, mm-hmm. right? You know, you were getting the same three nodes of usable Kubernetes, basically.
So by removing that entire master section, this is really just the agents that I have to worry about?
Correct. The agents and associated infrastructure, VNets and things like that. But yeah, very, very, a lot simpler than what we've been exposed.
And when I go and look at this in billing, like we did on Azure Friday with billing, and we had a nice pie chart and it showed all the kind of stuff, that backplane doesn't even appear in my pie chart.
That's right.
Yep. Because it's just not my problem.
It's not your problem at all. And that's really what one of the big things we heard about from customers is they wanted it to not be
nice.
Their problem.
Kube as a service.
So here we can see that this IP just popped out. So if we pop into a browser and open this, you can see.
Look at that. Very important.
Cat or dog guy?
Hamsters. I don't really like animals.
They don't have one of those, so I'll
take dogs.
We'll take dogs. Fine. Okay, I'm definitely for cats. But you can see this is just a very basic application that we have running. But I think the thing that's really cool that I'm most proud of with this is the upgrade feature. So I really want to just show if I do a list AKS list and output to table, you can see I've got this. Demo one cluster that's running, and it's running on 177. Mm-hmm. Now, if I do a AZ AKS upgrade dash N demo one mm-hmm. dash G
AKS. What was that IP address?
That was
246.31. All right, now I'm on the same app.
And let's see, and we do Kubernetes version 1.8.1. Mm-hmm. And this thing is just going to go ahead and run. And actually, if you look down at the bottom of the output here, this is actually where the version of the server is. So we'll watch that and sort of see what happens there as far as the upgrade.
In a world where Kubernetes and the world are moving very quickly, being able to upgrade cleanly like this and easily is important.
It is important. And I think that one of the things that we do with the upgrade process, which is actually pretty fascinating, is that we do this technique called cordon and drain. And what cordon and drain means is when you have these nodes that are running in your cluster, what we do is first we say, all right, we're going to upgrade the control plane of the Kubernetes environment, sort of the masters, right? We get those upgraded. Mm-hmm. Then we move on to node by node. And what we do is we basically isolate each node, make sure that new containers are not scheduled to it. Then we drain all of the workloads off of it. So we send them a SIG term or whatever to mm-hmm. gracefully, sort of drain the workloads off of them. And they'll get rescheduled on the different nodes in the cluster. So mm-hmm. completely non-disruptive if you wrote your apps.
Sure.
To handle that. And then once that node is finished getting upgraded, we'll move on to the next one, make sure we provision a new node so mm-hmm. that you always have sort of the same available capacity in the cluster. So
right.
We take a lot of care to do that. And as a result, the upgrades can take a little while, right? Which is okay, right? Because safe is the most important thing for
but
your production.
This is the kind of, and this is something that's so important for people to understand from a historical context perspective. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when we were doing this in the 90s, we did it manually. We did it with scripts that ran for hours. I mean, these things that we take for granted where you just typed a single command and hit enter and it drains off. We used to do that when I was working on 800.com and big e-commerce sites like that. You've taken the best practices of the last two or three decades of the web and encapsulated them into a single thing, and now you've made the backplane free as a service.
Exactly. And I think people often just want, they say, oh, well, I want Kubernetes, but I don't have to operate it or manage it. And the reality is that's really hard, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, as you said, a lot of work and engineering that's gone into that. And so we're, the engineering team's working pretty tough, diligently on this. You can see now we're already, the control plane's been upgraded here. And
fantastic.
If I go ahead and drop in,
will the upgrade continue?
The upgrade will continue, yes. If I drop in here and take a look at my nodes, get nodes. You can see, so the control plane got upgraded,
and
but
then,
we're still
the,
waiting
the
to.
The agent nodes are not yet there.
So we'll sort of do that slow drain and cordon gently to the cluster to get that thing upgraded.
So for people who are familiar with Kubernetes, maybe they came to this video, but they're not Azure people. Maybe they've used another cloud,
yes.
maybe a local bookstore. They're going to find this to be a better experience. Why?
They're going to find this to be better because, you know, we've put a lot of emphasis into making the create flow really, really simple and straightforward. So that's one. Mm-hmm. The other one is this is going to be free, right? So we're not going to charge for that backplane, as you said. You know, yep. That infrastructure is free. And then the other thing is, I'd say, is that Microsoft as a company has a lot of experience in developer tooling and you know, ways to make sort of developers more productive. So we've been investing in upstream Kubernetes-centric tooling, things, projects like Draft, Helm, things like that, to make Kubernetes easier to use. A lot more we have planned in that direction, not to mention everything we're doing with regard to VS Code and Visual Studio, which are also getting deeply integrated into this experience.
Fantastic. What a time to be alive.
Exactly.
All right. I am learning all about managed Kubernetes here on Azure Friday.